So good morning to everyone. This is the the Brooklyn kid now from Orlando. Good to be here again. The title for today was, it may seem odd when you see these things. I think about them because we cover a lot of topics. There's so much going on. When you have a guy in the White House who demands attention, not just needs attention, but can't live without it. If he were a prisoner, he'd be trying to make noise in his cell all day long so the guards would have to visit him. The bottom line is, as I've said before, I am a true believer from when I was a kid, before I registered for the draft and served, in the beauty of our country, what we've put together, which was a unique thing. You know, do your own thing as long as you're within the bounds of the law. We don't walk around to certify what everybody does, but we do try and give you the total freedom to be the way you'd like to be. And that's why we had freedom of religion. That's why we have the diversity we do. People have come here because they understand that they can get ahead. There is no hierarchy that owns the place. And the people who were here first, we kind of shoved them on reservations, but they've kind of gotten smart and gotten back to where they've gotten a piece of the action, well-deserved in most cases. Every week is an interesting week now because I think we have a president who, because of his marketing capabilities and the rest of it, cannot but feel the downslide that's happening, that he tries to keep pushing off and tell you everybody doesn't know what they're doing. That's why he starts to talk to reporters more when he leaves the White House and heads toward the helicopter before he goes anyplace. Because as he has said before, there's no one but him who knows everything. He knows more than all the generals and everything else. And of course, he knows more than anybody because he doesn't communicate with them to tell them what he's going to do next. So they all end up surprised. We've only spent 240 years putting together a government that works for us and allowed people like him to survive, thrive, and cheat most of the public and make his money and pay no taxes and accuse everybody else of not paying their fair share. So, fairness. It's not a legal term per se. It's a term of not morality, it's a term of understanding. So the title was Fairness / Equity. Equity. Equity, you hear that, as I've said before, I love our language. It's not only the biggest on the planet, but every word has multiple meanings. So how you use it, what you do, not just the context of the statement. Equity, people will say, well, I have an equity investment in something. Well, as I've said to everybody from one of my earliest podcasts, we, the people of America, have an equity investment in our country that's been started. It's like, you know, you have a great-great-grandfather that when he died, you went in the attic and you found out, oh, he's got some of the original Bell stock when the company started. And it's been changed so many times, it's worth gazillion dollars at this point. But the big discovery, as I've tried to tell everybody, is each one of us, whether we're rich or poor or normal or crazy or whatever, we each own, whether you're a billionaire, millionaire, we each own one share of America as a citizen. Other people who are here are either deeming to try and live the life here and enjoy it, make their money here, maybe become a citizen. But we, over 300 million people, each own just one share. So the value of that share, as I've discussed in earlier podcasts, is somewhere in a range of at least $200,000 for each of us. The billionaire also has one share worth $200,000. The value of that share is the value of what this country gives us. And what it gives us is what we maintain. We have people who go out there and do things. People spend money in arrest. So when I said fairness or equity, equal or unequal, because we have an equity investment. But equity also means that you're treated properly, that you're given your fair treatment. That's an equitable arrangement. How we treat each other, how we get along. As I've said before, as a child, I started to understand the word minority. And people told me, well, you know, people of color are the minority in our country. Well, in our country. But I already understood there was a world and continents and the rest of it. Right now, we're over 7 billion, I think, on the way to 8 billion or close to it. And I've always known that the other continents, including as DNA studies have shown, where life may have started in West Central Africa. The other continents, people may be humans. They have arms and legs and the rest of it. They just have different tones of color to their skin. These are things that, just like we react to, we could be given a drug and have a bad reaction, whether we go a little crazy, whether we get blotches on our skin. So I've always felt that humanity, the human race, is a group. We are a group of people who inhabit this planet. We are not against each other because you come from a different place. We have people who try and teach their population, such as in Russia. And I've got relatives who come from there. That's part of my heritage. And I'm not ashamed of it. None of us should be ashamed of what we come from because we technically come out of one pot. So we get into these modern times and you get people. Robert Mueller, he finally surfaced because he realized that Bill Barr, whatever his objective is, and I find it difficult to comprehend, but I've met people who act much worse than that. Bill Barr is trying to help Trump spin this 400-some-odd page report to say, oh, it's 400 pages of garbage. He's exonerated. It doesn't say that. But till you hear it, so when Robert Mueller came out, one of the things he talked about, and as I said, I think it was last podcast or the one before, as I said, if I don't know enough about a subject, I want to know more about it, so I speak with more authority. The Office of Legal Counsel within the Department of Justice, because the special prosecutor was under the Department of Justice, it was the acting attorney general, Rod Rosenstein, who picked Mueller to do this job because of his background. Because most of the people who work in the FBI or some of these intelligence agencies, no matter who they like or dislike, and believe me, I've dealt enough with the federal government throughout my career and have known people who you will never see on a postage stamp or out on a battlefield, but they're battling for us to help protect us. That's their job. These people are generally apolitical. Does it mean they have no feelings? No, that's not it. But they've trained themselves, just as when you see the famous movie The 300 about the Spartans, which I always admired when I studied ancient cultures even as a kid, the Spartans trained themselves to not be distracted, to be focused on what they were doing. So if they were fighting a battle, they were like a machine working together to win what they were putting their life on the line for. The same with a lot of the people who serve in our military and the people who serve in the FBI and Secret Service and the rest. They know that they're dedicated to protecting the country. So Robert Mueller's one of these guys who says, I only go left or right if the signal gives me permission. You know, you don't break the law unless you're in hot pursuit, and that's, again, you got to be careful. So Robert Mueller came out because he didn't like what was happening, and he tried to say, hey, read the report. You know what? The average American's never going to read the report. By now, everybody knows it's over 400 pages. By now, everybody knows it's in two sections. First section where Donald wanted to teach everybody the word collusion. Collusion's not a legal term. But when you read the first section, there was a lot of collusion, working together, trying to get together. However, as Mueller points out, when he deals with the law, he's dealing with a term called conspiracy. Now, fortunately or unfortunately, every word has a lot of meanings, but in the law they have certain things that say what equals conspiracy legally. So he said, with all of the interactions where Trump and a lot of his people met with Russians, interacted with Russians, passed information with them, did they conspire legally? He says, I can't reach that. So the man reached a conclusion. He said, I can't say that we could, you know, prosecute him for conspiracy. So he cleared him of that crime, not of collusion, not of cooperating, not of interacting, because as I've also told you before, solicitation is a term, but it's a crime that when you solicit, depending what you're doing, you are breaking the law. Nobody has to accept what you're soliciting or asking them to do or work with you on, but you yourself, by soliciting, are breaking the law. So there was a lot of interaction. All of it's documented. Remember, he got all these convictions on Russians who were working in the cyber network, who worked for the government, because they were able to identify them back to their computer, back to their keystroke, by name. I love that we have intelligence agencies that are good enough to tell you which guy was pressing the button back in his office. That's why a grand jury following our law was able to indict all those people. As I said, unless they come to the country and we arrest them, they were indicted in absentia, but they broke our laws. We were attacked. Donald will tell you, well, it happened while Obama was still president while they were doing this. Well, of course, it was during the campaign. And there's absolute proof, because unlike Trump, Obama and all of our other presidents generally had people with them who took notes, who were in the meetings when they met with foreign people. So when Obama met with Putin during our elections and said, listen, stop this crap that you're doing, there's backup that he did this. So he took action. So when Donald says, well, he should have taken action, well, he did take action. But subsequent, Donald feels if he takes action on Russia, oh, it's saying, well, they helped me, so I don't want to touch that because I'm saying they didn't. They attacked our country, whether it's through cyberspace or a bomb coming through the air or a grenade heaved at us. We were attacked and we're still being attacked. He has taken no definitive measure. Worse than that, the first 2 years, while the whole Congress was Republican, not only did they go along with him, they did no oversight to work on protecting our system, not just the election, because while you don't stop them from using cyberspace, electronics, to invade our government and our life, they get more practice on how to disrupt us. So it isn't just the election. When they're ready, if they feel like disrupting the power to our medical centers, the power grid in certain parts of the country that back up our systems, the information that they can shut down, the water plants that need to process, the hydroelectric plants that may be computer controlled. Because I worked in the industry with power and utility, among many other industries, and we set up sophisticated systems to keep these things running. People monitor it. When the power goes down, they do have backup generators and stuff. So in the meantime, they get to practice on our cyberspace on how to get in and do things. When they want to go in and shut down the electric grid or cause other problems, that's just shifting to a different area of our business. So shutting them down and making sure you know that they're in there and not able to do things is very important for our security, current and future. Forget Mueller, forget Trump, it's our security. Because if Donald thinks when he stays as president that Putin's going to give him a bonus when he gets out, of course Donald thinks he's going to shut down all our laws and change the stuff and say a president can serve forever till he dies. Keep watching him because that's what he intends. If he believes it, he doesn't care whether it's legal. He'll just say so and try and tell you why you should believe it. Start to understand. It's like date rape. He says, yeah, I'm going to take you to a nice restaurant, but first, come in my bedroom. Anyway, Robert Mueller came out and he spoke about stuff.
Let me straighten it out, because I talked about that Office of Legal Counsel, that opinion. It's an opinion. As someone who has dealt with laws, federal, state, local, internationally, an opinion's an opinion. The justice who wrote it was not even able to make it to the Supreme Court. They voted him down. So the man who wrote the opinion. However, there are certain principles that a man like Robert Mueller, when he sees that opinion and he's in that department doing his work, what did the opinion say? Again, simple. It's a long opinion. Read it. It's interesting, especially if you want to understand the process of law and how they look at it. They basically said, and that's what Robert Mueller kind of said in his own way, he said that if we were to try and indict a sitting president, he didn't say whether they're guilty or not. He just said even if they were guilty, you try and indict them. It's not that it would disrupt the government. Fairness, what we call fairness. We have a man who's in office, whether Hillary got 3 million more votes than him or not, he got millions of votes. So millions of Americans voted for this man. Now, I'm going to give him a ticket for jaywalking, because he definitely did it, and I'm going to put him in the court, and 12 people in a jury will now decide the fate of the guy who's running the country for 300 million, who was voted in by tens of millions. See, understand, there's an equity principle here. Forget that it's Donald Trump. That opinion was saying that if we try and indict someone, and which is putting them in front of a court with a jury system, that you're going to have 12 people decide the fate of a person that tens of million elected, whether we like him or not. That's unfair to a man who goes by rules and understands that's an imbalance in that equation. So that's one of the reasons that they say you don't indict a sitting president, because indictment means going into court. Going into court means maybe a jury trial, 12 people deciding whether this person is right or not, or a judge, even if you don't ask for a jury. So let's look at the other side. What he says, if there is criminal activity, what the Constitution and even this opinion that they referred to, the Office of Legal Counsel and the DOJ, impeachment. Now, in impeachment, remember, our Congress, co-equal branch of the government that's been brain dead for 2 years while Trump was in there, the House of Representatives, which has approximately 430, if my memory remembers the right number, 438 people that each represent a segment of our population. That's a lot bigger than 12 people making a decision. So 438 people become like the jury. They do an inquiry, which I think shortly you will see. Nancy Pelosi is very strategic. I spent a lot of time in Washington when I was younger and into my mid-ages. And people who were really good at their job understood how the machinations of politics and law fit together. And you don't want to push this one before you're ready to do that one. You know, if you're cooking a meal and you know you're making green beans and they take 2 minutes to cook, you don't put them on before you start grilling your steak. Because by the time the steak is done, the green beans are going to be wilted or burnt. You've got to bring all these elements together. So only when you observe this and are doing a job like that do you understand that you have these multiplicity of operations that have to fit. I believe Pelosi will say, well, okay, we're going to do an impeachment inquiry. Again, remember, the Republicans for 2 years, no matter what Trump did, they were derelict in their duty of doing oversight to see whether it was right or wrong, because they were taking payoff in the form of federal judges who will be there forever. So please, quid pro quo exists on a federal level. So Mueller said this, and that's why he said we couldn't, but he clearly said when he was speaking and in his write-up, and I've looked at the copy of what I heard him say, because I watched it the other day when he was saying it. He said, we have a method. So the House of Representatives, he didn't say that, is the jury. They'll look at the facts and the evidence, and they'll decide, is it going for sentencing? Okay? Did he break the law? The Senate becomes the judge. Then you got 100 people representing the whole country. So in essence, you got 538 people representing the whole country instead of 12 making a decision. That's why they say the president, you can't just throw him in a court and look at it that way. So they have to go ahead with it. They have to go with the inquiries. If this president said, I'm exonerated, I didn't do any of this, remember, anybody who keeps repeating that but is unwilling to put anything on the table and let you look at the evidence means there's something they're hiding. It's that simple. I've done too many transactions in too many countries with too many different people that it isn't. So that's Robert Mueller. We can go indefinitely on him and the rest of it. Then we have something where when we talked about electing the president, and I want to repeat this every time I talk, we have a system where we start with primaries, generally speaking. There are caucuses, primaries, different types of primaries. Believe it or not, primaries weren't originally envisioned in the Constitution. The parties would kind of put somebody together and put them out there. So when you go and you study the history, you can Google electing the president, and it'll give you overviews of all of this. You can read it in any detail you want. But because of the way our system works, not just the Electoral College, and that's been used in so many nasty ways throughout our history, till we reform all of that, we have to deal with what is. So discussion about reforming it is a sidetrack right now. So as I tell everybody, if there's a primary election in the area where you live, go out and vote, whatever it takes to register to vote, because again, the few people who know that whatever gets voted on that primary often goes through to the end. So if 10% of the voting population goes out to vote in the primary, even if 100% show up at the polls at the end, they're only getting to vote for who the 10% picked. That's not fair. And it's not fair because we're too lazy to understand it and go out and do our job. Our job is to protect our freedoms in our country. Our voice needs to be heard from the beginning. When anybody is running for any office, primary or otherwise, get out there and vote for the ones you think you want to represent you. Democrat, Republican, I don't care. But if you don't vote, you shouldn't even complain. And then if things go bad, remember, you're not doing your job. So, primaries and elections. There is no midterms, there is no anything. As I said, I consider the presidential election a midterm. Every 4 years, they add a couple of more people to the list to vote for. But every 2 years, we vote for all of the House of Representatives that represent all of us, every 2 years. And every 6 years, senators roll over. So about one-third of them every 2 years generally roll over. Every election counts and is important. And all these things we hear about, whether it's abortions or education or things or tax cuts, because the people who are interested in the money that's in their pocket hire lobbyists and put things in, it's your money. Because as I've taught you in economics, the gross domestic product is goods and services that we the people buy. Every expense goes in there. They get their money not just for the millions or billions they end up with, but also for the money they spend on elections. So they're taking money out of your pocket to influence the election that you're not working on. You can outdo them because they only have one vote each. If you get out there and use your vote, you will change what's going on. Period. Last time I looked at it, Democrats, independents, and the rest outnumber anybody registered as Republicans. And I am not anti-Republicans. I dealt with tons of Republicans. As I said, my two favorite presidents at this point, in recent times, it's Eisenhower. Before that, Abraham Lincoln. Because they were forward-thinking and understood economics, whether they called it that or not. And they were good for our country. So, the primary process. I ask you, I beg you to go out and vote. Okay? And there, as I said, you can Google the U.S. presidential primary process, explain, look it up. It'll tell you a lot of things, what happened through our history. But then it tells you how it's been used against us. that progressive reform is in the early 1900s, so not way back. They used the popular election to pick its delegates for national conventions, with the delegates pledged to support specific candidates. So you didn't become a delegate unless you pledged that you're going to support the people they wanted to see in office. It's not the way it should be, people. We go out and vote. We decide who should represent us. Another big topic, disaster recovery. I've dealt with a lot of disaster recoveries. I had a client who sent me down to New Orleans after Katrina. Waters receded because they were a big business. They had to get their business back to working. And as a person who understands, you know, laws and variances and permits and construction, they figured I'd go down and help them. So I went down there. I spent about 2 days. I had a top vice president meet me, their national construction company meet me. I pointed out to them that it doesn't matter what they want to spend to put their business back in working condition. New Orleans is a consumer-driven, tourism-driven economy. We deported the whole population almost of New Orleans to the rest of the country. One-way tickets. We didn't bring them right back when it was done, rebuild their houses. So I said, first of all, getting construction people to rebuild your thing is one. Two, customers, yeah, tourists when they know they might find the hotel. Three, where you're going to get employees, because you can't just pay them a basic wage when everybody will hire anybody who's alive and breathing. So I sent back the message to that VP, to his corporation, that you're going to pay three times the basic wage if you could find a living, breathing body to work in your business. They understood it when I was done. But now we're dealing with a game that's being played as far as I'm concerned. Puerto Rico, where Donald Trump didn't understand that they've been citizens of our country for over 100 years. The hurricane devastated the place. So rather than putting together a national plan to not rebuild it, but build it differently so it's better protected, not just fix a house here and there and throw towels when he goes down there for a photo shoot like he's throwing hoops on a basketball court. He doesn't know what it means to hurt because he's been privileged all his life and he got away with all his crap by the way he treats people. So we've got this bill out there for Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, and Texas and other areas that still need the disaster money. And these people don't have the coverage. We help the rest of our nation. They're our citizens. They're our neighbors. It's our country. It's our money that they're spending, so we want to make sure it gets to the people who need it. So they passed a bill between the House and Senate recently where they got together, didn't pass it, but agreed on a bill together for X amount of dollars for disaster relief to catch up on all this stuff. I just learned, and believe me, this does happen because they play political games. Mitch McConnell, who has been playing political games for many years and decides whatever he thinks is good is good. The Senate, when they approved this jointly agreed upon bill, kind of slow-walked it a little. Why? Tactically, when you get to this time when most people are home because it's another recess-type break in Washington, so very few people are there to vote. So when they need to vote on this important disaster relief bill so they can put it on the president's desk, because both parts of Congress agreed, should be up to him to sign it for Americans to rebuild, they slow walked it till most of the House is back home in their districts. So any one Republican, and look, all of us are different. Whatever the label is doesn't mean we think the same. One person can knock it down because they try and do things by what's called a voice vote, generally speaking, because they don't have everybody voting. As soon as everybody is back, they'll vote the bill through, send it over to the Senate, see if Mitch plays games with it anymore, and then send it to the president and see if he still wants to teach people that he won't give them their money, our money. So disaster relief, it's nasty when it's used as a political tool, and that's what's happening right now because these people deserve it. Now, Puerto Rico, beside its disaster relief, people have to understand, not only is it under our country, not only are its citizens our citizens. In fact, think of it the opposite way. Puerto Rico is a neighborhood in America. If we all wanted to move to Puerto Rico, if we could afford to, we could all move to Puerto Rico. We don't need any government to grant us permission. We can go live there, period. Okay? There are Americans who retire and go to other countries. They have to live with certain rules and the rest of it. Puerto Rico, part of our neighborhood. Think about it the other way. The land isn't fixed. If you got the money, go buy a piece of land and fix it. Build it yourself. Get a portable generator. Because believe me, the investors who want to pick up property cheaply will be looking at it and do look at it. Puerto Rico was actually a tax haven, even though it's part of our country. They're under one of our older federal tax laws. But because of the way they're set up and certain semi-sovereignty that they have, just like our states, because believe it or not, each one of our states are different to operate in. I used to teach people how you could put your warehouse in state A instead of state B, and you'll be taxed less. It's easier to deposit it there and use it as a distribution point. People thought I was kidding till I showed them the law and proved it to them. But that's what they paid me to do. So every state is not the same when it comes to the nexus for how they tax you locally on your property. And if you're a state and you want to attract business, you'll say, well, if it's freight on board, we won't charge you. So you'll have warehouses open up and build up more business and have more jobs in your state. And there are lots of examples of this. Puerto Rico is a tax haven. There were a lot of big corporations that over the years, 50, 60 years ago, understood how to use it and went there to do research and a lot of their manufacturing. So it isn't just going to Hong Kong or going to China or going to Mexico. This happens all over the globe. People want to make the biggest profit, so they look at how can I use the system. So Puerto Rico was actually a tax haven. It may still be. I haven't had the need to look at it for any company in a while, but I wouldn't be surprised. Then another topic that just burns at me. As a veteran, as an American, on Facebook, hi John, Congress must do their job. Yes, they must. And even though there's no election right now, every one of us knows who our representative is, who our senator is. Flood them with emails, with letters. Take a letter, make 48 copies of it, and send it to them. Say, I'll stop sending it when you start reading it and answering me. They can't put you in jail for harassing your own representative. So it's an embarrassment, yes. But let's not forget this. In 2018, more people came out than ever for what they said was a midterm. Like I said, an election's an election. They're all important. 2020, we want to change, and I'm not asking you put in all Democrats, but get rid of everybody who's been sitting there for 4 years before the 2018 election in the Senate and doing nothing. They had control, and they exercised it by doing nothing unless they wanted and it benefited something that they needed. So, yes, the people suffer, we suffer, but we have control over it. You can harass, and I use the word in its nicest term. I'm not saying go out there and yell at them, but that's what your representative is, your senator is. They are there for you. So write them, email them, text them. They can't tell you you can't do that. They are there to represent you. And if you go to their website, they don't even want to talk to me if I'm not from their district. And as an economist who says they're running on national economy, I have told some of them to their face even when I was younger. I said, excuse me, you're making decisions for the country. Your constituency isn't just the people who put you there. It's the people whose money you're spending, all of us. So please, go after your representative, go after your Senate. Don't be ugly. But flood them till they understand that even if you're not a millionaire or a billionaire, they're supposed to listen to you. So now, the other one that got me was fairness and the rest of it. You get Trump, and we've talked about him before, where he talks about when he went to NATO first and said they're not paying their fair share, and I've talked to you endlessly how he used to admire himself and still does, that he paid no taxes. Well, he uses our roads, our bridges, our highways, our airports. and he pays nothing toward it. So who's the guy who's not paying his fair share? Remember that. So now you look at him when it came to, I'm a few years older than him, approximately four. I registered for the draft, and I asked them to draft me, and I served my country. So I was volunteer army. He went in, he registered. I don't know if they sent him a letter or he wanted to make sure he didn't get one. So the bone spur issue was the doctor, and it was more than one doctor because he got five deferrals, I believe, were the number. But these were doctors who had offices in what's called Queens, which is a section of New York where his father owned a lot of real estate. These doctors rented office space to run their business on the streets of Queens, and he went to them, whether he made a rental deal or whatever he did, those were the doctors who gave him these letters on bone spurs. Let the man take his feet out. And then remember, when he went to college, he played on all the teams because he wanted to be a big macho man so the women would admire him. Bone spurs, my ass, period. If he had real bone spurs, I've known people who've had them, he would not have been playing all those sports. So, and then what does he do? He insults any veteran, anybody who served in the service, because he and Howard Stern, another guy who is, Howard Stern is a very popular guy, I like listening to him, but he's another one of these people who, I think it's called in psychology, arrested social development. He wants to be a big kid, he wants to enjoy himself, he doesn't want to grow up. Hey, more power to him. He makes his money. Everybody is entertained by what they like. But what did they talk about? Back on the shows, I believe it was in the 90s, Trump being one of his guests because he liked to be on there with Howard, another character. Not as bad as Trump by any means. Trump and he had talks about Vietnam and the rest of it and about women and stuff. The things they said about women were ugly. They do not, definitively Donald does not respect women. To him, they're just props for his use. I don't care what he says. But they said, my running around and having the chance of getting an STD was my Vietnam. I didn't serve in Vietnam, but I was in during the beginning of that era. I have many friends, including relatives, who served there. It was not a joke. It was a serious combat situation. People got killed. When this happened, he was joking that his taking a chance, meaning he had unprotected sex. Let's also remember when he says people should be criminally prosecuted for having an abortion. This man was running around having unprotected sex. Otherwise, he couldn't worry about STDs. And he basically said that was his Vietnam. Having mortars fired at you, running through swamps, fighting for your life, not the same as getting an STD. People should never, if they ever served in the military or understand what he said, ever even think about that. And remember, John McCain, he tries to trivialize everybody else rather than dealing with issues. And we all let him get away with that if we recognize that that's what he's doing. He's making a joke of other things. We're not paying him to be a jokester. We need him to run a country, and he's incapable of that. So he looked at John McCain. He said, he's not a hero. He was captured. Now, let's remember, John McCain was in the Air Force. I knew that if you're in the Air Force, you're in a plane, you're a target, you're going to drop bombs, people are going to shoot at you. There's a chance you get shot down. It's dangerous. As dangerous as also doing an assault on the ground. Again, you're a target. So a lot of planes get shot down. He gets captured. Trump said John McCain's not a hero. I don't like people who are captured. The history of our country, and you can Google it. You can look up POWs in American history on the internet. I did. And I knew the answers before I started, but in the Revolutionary War, there were at least 20,000 Americans as prisoners. Now remember, you're talking a lot less population in the country, but it was a sufficient number. 8,500 of them, or 6,500, died. War of 1812, nobody remembers that one. It's an old one. There were, again, more than 5,000 prisoners on that. That's the early 1800s. The Civil War, which was between ourselves, our country was growing. But believe it or not, combined between the North and the South, there were over 400,000 prisoners of war. Our countrymen, nobody else. These are people who Donald Trump would not respect because they were captured fighting for what they believed in. The only thing he fights for is money in his pocket. Spanish-American War, people don't remember that one. There were some prisoners in that. It was less than 3 months long, our being part of it. World War I, over 4,000 Americans were prisoners of war. We weren't in that war for a long, long period of time. I'm going to be transferring to my alter ego shortly because there's a lot of interesting stuff my ego came up with. World War II, there were over 120,000 prisoners of war between the European theater and the Asian theater. So remember, this president who draft dodged is insulting everybody else who went in and served if they were captured. Captured is part of what happens in a war. And Vietnam War, the numbers may not be big, but 20% of them were captive. For the numbers that served, that was a high rate of prisoners. So think about this man's vulgarity and using our roads and our systems and unwilling to pay his fair share. Just wants more money in his pocket. My alter ego's here today, has a lot to say about a lot of things that are happening. Sorry for this long intro, but I am angry that we are not doing our job because these people represent us, and if we don't like it, we have to keep on the streets, keep on the phones, keep on the computers. Show what you believe in. It doesn't have to be what I think, but whatever you think. Go to your representatives and senators and vote in every election that happens. Let me have my alter ego fill in.
Good morning. This is your alter ego. I do have a lot of things to cover. I do want to say a couple of things that AE equals MC Square discussed this morning, and I'll segue into my theme. I encourage everybody to go and purchase or read online the Mueller Report, Volume 1 and 2. I bought it because I feel that if you don't read for yourself information, how can you really have a discussion intelligently, no less, and make a determination on anything if all you're depending on is whatever someone is saying to you or whatever propaganda is being put out by not only the conservative media, but by Mr. Barr and Mr. Trump, who we cannot believe anything he says, people who know
him.
Just
one brief quick note. When she talks about the report, remember, this was an investigation. What they've put in here is factual, documented evidence for looking at a crime or a possible crime. Not hearsay, not discussion. Sorry, go back to the alter ego.
Thank you. You will note that Kelly and Manafort had a lot of, I would say, they are treasonous to this country, working with Donald Trump and his family, getting payments from Russia, the Ukraine, and some of the Middle Eastern countries to get them or get this president to say certain things that we hear on the news every day. Russia is not at fault. Kim Jong-un is okay. All the dictators. He's got a lot of money on the back end, and so he will continue destroying our democracy for his own benefit. I do want to bring up something very, very quickly because it really disturbed me when I saw our military, men and women wearing Donald Trump's military patches on their arms. And I'm a Jew, and for people who recall World War II and Hitler's reign, it's very shocking to me that Jews have forgotten a lot of that today. You got to remember what happened when Hitler came to power. You know, these insignia on these uniforms during Germany's walk to war and conquering of the world, when Hitler came to power, He actually, in 1933, created his Hitler Youth and started with 50,000 of them. And I just want to bring up a little bit of history. In 1909, the Boy Scouts that we know today was invented in England, and it spread to Germany. So you had a lot of youth groups in Germany at the time. And when Hitler came along, he created his own little youth group, 50,000 members. It took him 1 year to raise that to 2 million kids that he was indoctrinating. And what did he do? He got rid of all of the other youth groups that existed, including the Boy Scouts that we in America know today. Got to be very careful with what is happening in America today with this president and his entire band of cabinet members and the entire Republican Party. You cannot tie him to himself. The entire Republican Party is complicit in what's going on today. People, you need to go and read a little bit of history. He used children to indoctrinate them and turn on their parents and have control over their minds. And you see that going on right now today. I can personally even myself say that some adults that I know are indoctrinating their children instead of teaching and allowing their kids to read and see what's going on and have some discussions. They're actually indoctrinating their kids to only look at Trump as a very good person. Even though you have to say to yourself, if you're a great, an educated person, because it's not just uneducated people that don't understand what's going on. It's all the college ones that have a good life. You can accept a guy who's disrespectful to women, who cheats, who lies, who's corrupt, just so that you can get what you want. What are you teaching your son, your daughter? You're teaching them that this is okay behavior. So I want to go to something that's been bugging me about the DeVos family. We know we have Mrs. DeVos, who's running our school, Department of Education, her brother Prince, and President Trump have been working on privatizing parts of the U.S. military, and they've been working on this since 2017. No one is reporting on any of this, which is really bothersome to me because I don't know where our military is going to be. What Prince has suggested is that we have a viceroy who is in charge of everything, and that viceroy probably is going to be him, and we kind of put aside our own military and have the secret paramilitary group out there running our country. Well, Hitler did the same thing. And he started taking people and putting them away and killing them who were against his policies. We had a judge in Utah who was suspended recently for speaking out against the president. Now, I want to remind everybody that when Obama was president for 8 years, judges, FBI agents, everyone insulted him. And they didn't have a reason to do it except that he was black. Those judges never lost their jobs. Never got suspended, but now we are in a phase in this country where your First Amendment rights, unless you speak positive about a corrupt president, you're going to be shut down. You're going to be put in jail. We have a president who right now, with the WikiLeaks scandal, is trying to go after our media in a very roundabout way with Mr. Julian Assange. So be very, very careful. The next thing I want to discuss, because I know that AE equals MC Square has some other things he wants to talk about, is the Trump administration pulling out of the Rural Job Corps program, and he's looking to lay off 1,100 workers. Most of those individuals, by the way, happen to be in the very states that support this man no matter what. And the reason why he's doing it is because we've got to make sure that our budget stays in line. In line for what? He gave away $1 trillion of our money to himself and his wealthy millionaire and CEOs that didn't need it. These companies have been flushed in cash for over 8 years, people. They weren't losing anything. They've been keeping the money overseas. Most of us don't see anything with this tax cut. He has put our country in a national debt, and 1,100 people will now have to pay so that he can go out and tell his supporters how he's trimming the country and the budget down. No, he isn't.
Brief note, again, the money he's giving them, the tax money from our treasury, is money we spent from our pockets, the 98% that bought the goods and services that included those taxes in it, as I've explained before. So he's taking our money to hand to them.
So I want to just say that in this cut that he's looking to do, 3,000 students are enrolled in the Job Corps Civilian Conservation Centers in Montana, Wisconsin, Kentucky, and Oregon. 3,000 that are being taught on how to fight fires. So now that program goes away. I want to know, people in these states, what are you going to do? Or are you going to continue supporting wealthy people who in reality don't care about you, will continue to lie to you while they're living a very good life? The other thing that he did, he decided that federal employees, 2 million of them, don't deserve a raise. However, his cabinet members got raises and all their support people, and they make tons of money. And I will refuse to believe that 2 million federal workers don't include workers in the South, in little towns, out West. I'm sure they do. Why don't they deserve a raise? Oh, because he's trying to keep the budget in line after he gave away our tax dollars. And the thing that makes me laugh, the few companies that may have given their employees a raise or a little bonus, they didn't do it. It's not going to be permanent, number one. And you're not giving us anything. It's our tax dollars. You're not giving us anything. But they go out there and they get on TV and they make it look like they're giving you something. Now you'll pay more on your taxes because deductions are going away. He's punishing the northern states because they don't agree with him. And he's taking that money and giving it, subsidizing the South, out West, these little towns, whatever you want to call them. Just like we're talking about the agricultural issues with the tariffs. We are giving them bailouts now. Our money is now going to his supporters so they'll vote for him and they're not thinking about it. You have got to pay attention. We are on the march towards a dictator. He's a dictator. The courts are packed from the federal level to the Supreme Court to grant him everything he wants. Women, young women, old women, men, pay attention. Pay attention to the fact that your rights are being taken away. The Supreme Court just halted Ohio, Wisconsin, Maryland from being able to move forward with redistricting because of gerrymandering by the Republicans. The fix is in. They want to make sure that in 2020, he gets in again by any means necessary. What does that mean to you as a voter? Go out and register. Pay attention. Don't leave the line when the machine is flipping to Donald Trump. Make a big stink. Make sure you vote in person. Don't mail your votes in because a lot of these votes go in the trash. That's what happened in the 2016 election. It happened here in Florida in 2018 with the governorship election. Pay attention, people. Russia will continue helping him because they paid for him to do the job they want him to do. Our government is being infiltrated at all levels by Russians, by Russian operatives, and they have the perfect man in office who doesn't care as long as you are paying him off. And I will head this back over to Mr. AE equals MC squared.
And I'm sorry I spoke longer, didn't give her a lot. When she's talking about the things and makes mention of what happens with ballots, the rest, it's not absolute, but it's actually happened. These are not just thoughts. These are facts. that we know have happened. We've seen it happen. Two quick things. Fairness in taxes. They put this big tax cut through that the Republicans, when they had full control of Congress, voted that by now most people know have added a few trillion dollars. If it hasn't immediately, it will in the next few years. A few trillion dollars to our deficit. The man who ran said he's going to get rid of the deficit immediately because he knows how to spur the economy. The only way he spurs the economy, those are the only spurs he really knows about, not bone spurs, is by putting money in his pocket. Go ahead. My ego has one more thing.
I want to say one more thing. Pay attention to the up and down swings of the stock market. Jared Kushner, Donald Trump. Very interesting how the market keeps going up and down on certain times of the week when he's either getting frustrated over the fact that we are aware that he's lying and that he is corrupt and that he did collude and is starting, did try to obstruct justice. He comes up with something, whether it's Mexico, the tariffs now he's going to put on them, whether it's China, now Japan probably. We are paying the price for that, and the market keeps going up and down, and we're the ones, the public, who are losing. Most Americans have no clue what the stock market is. However, if you work and you have a pension or a 401k, it's invested for you. Your future is being played with the daily swing of the market. We did not have that under Obama, who left this man a fantastic economy and a great market, stock market, and he has come now and he's putting us at risk, our pensions, our 401k. But guess who's making money in the back end? They're betting against the ups and downs of the market. They're not losing a penny.
It's called option trading in its simplicity. I never believed in the market when I was a kid. I understand them. So I only have a few minutes, but quickly, Jared has been a trader when it comes to markets and the rest of it. He does understand it, and Trump has people who understand how to play the swings. But when he knows when he wakes up in the morning and he suddenly announces, I'm going to put a tariff and the market's going to drop, options trading or these fluctuations in the market is where if you have an insider knowledge that it's going to happen, you take a position so that when the market drops, you can make millions, if not billions, of dollars on that swing. And then when you know he backs off and says, well, we won't do it this week, maybe next week. The other two things he's done, he gave away a ton of taxes. And remember, all the taxes came out of our pocket from the goods and services we bought from those companies or what we paid out of our salaries into the Treasury. So now he gives away all this money. The Treasury has less money. He doesn't want to suddenly run and say the Treasury is empty. So he goes after China with things that sound logical, and yes, it is, but we've discussed some of the reasons that it doesn't make sense. He goes after China, our biggest trading partner, who sends stuff here. Why don't we go order this stuff from another country? No, because we built the factories and push it all over there. Why don't we open it up here? Don't put a tariff. The tariff allows him to collect taxes because the tariffs are on the imports. We pay the tariff. So we are paying more taxes if you add in the tariffs that we're paying on things coming from China that we can't get elsewhere at this point. And then Mexico that he just announced within a week it's going to start, and he's going to bully them unless they stop sending these people in here. He's going to raise it again. He's going to make us pay because Mexico is our second biggest place that we generally import things from. So we, the Americans, are going to pay tariffs, which are additional taxes, to China and Mexico. It'll fill up our treasury. He'll say, look, our treasury's got all this money, which he's handing to farmers to subsidize them because they can't sell their soybeans and pigs and the rest of it. He's playing a big game, putting money in his pocket. Don't be stupid. Go after your representatives and congressmen and vote, vote, vote. Fairness in taxes. Man doesn't know what fairness is, and he's cheating us all. If they let me go in and do the audit, I would gladly show you how he's been pocketing money on so many things. So now, following us, and really I appreciate that you people listen, Instagram, it's AE, the word equals, MC, the word squared. Facebook.